Chapter 45. Mr. Tuck picked up the literature book and skimmed past Bradford. "So, now we know what it was like to get here," he said. "And what they found after they arrived. For the most part, they had nothing to go back to, and so no choice. Ron thought about his girls at Our Lady of the Forlorn. They would have understood exactly what he was saying. But they had also moved on with their lives, and he had done that too." He felt the pang. "Ben Franklin is something else. He may very well have been the most accomplished man in the world by the time that he died. People don't talk about him the way that they do about Da Vinci, but they should. He had a wider sphere of influence." He had their attention. He walked to the window side of the room and sat on the combination heater and counter that spanned the length of the room. "Let's start with this," Ron read. "Observe all men, thyself most." He repeated it and looked out at them. 5 words. Easy enough. What do you think? The class looked down and read it again. They looked up. Mr. Tuck was waiting. The teachers normally hated silence in their classrooms. It gave them the uneasy feeling that nothing was happening. Usually they could wait a teacher out. Ron was silent. Then he read it again. "What do you think?" "Okay," said Mark Simon. "I get it. Beware of the people around you and what they do, but pay closer attention to what you do." Ron smiled. "Why?" "Chris Fortuna said, what you do is more important." Mr. Tuck smiled at Chris. "Because?" "Because you do it," said Chris. "Is Franklin hinting that we need to be both aware of our environment and how we interact within it, but that personal growth increases from self-knowledge? Did that idea also lead him to take part in the revolution?" It was a simple concept, but he wanted them to see it. Who you were and what you did should be the results of self-awareness. "Now," said Ron. He picked up the book and read. "Fish and visitors stink after 3 days." The class laughed, and Ron laughed with them. He knew that if he repeated this line, they would just laugh again. "What do you think this means?" Bobby Taylor raised his hand. "Well, I know that my mom won't even cook fish in the house. Either she buys it already cooked, or they cook it outside." Ron thought about that. He wondered why. "And what does that have to do with visitors?" The class was quiet. Ron paced back and forth, rolling the chalk between his palms. It clicked against his ring. Chris said, "After a few days, you get tired of having them around." Ron nodded. "Now, back in the 18th century, it had more practical meanings as well. No refrigeration. So it was important to eat things fresh. They also didn't know a lot about hygiene, and so visitors would not probably have bathed. That is one of the things that makes Franklin uniquely American and popular. There was both wisdom and practicality in what he said and wrote." Back in the teacher's room, Ron huddled with Sam. "I want to skip over some of this stuff and go more in depth with other pieces," said Ron. "Your class," said Sam. "Yeah, I'm just concerned about the finals. But I figured that I did a couple of Native American things. I'll do Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, doing Franklin now. I'll mix in some of Jefferson, Thomas Paine. But then I want to skip right to Poe, do a bunch of his things." Sam's eyes got a little wider. "That's a big skip, but I know why." "Yeah," said Ron. "The writing sucked, and I'll lose them." Father Tim Ariccio was sitting there listening to their conversation while he puffed his cigarette. There was something about Ron's mannerisms and his patterns of speech that he found familiar. "Where are you from, Ron?" Ron looked up, surprised by the question, and lit a cigarette. "Newark," he said, exhaling. Horatio smiled. "Whereabouts? Broadway? Lincoln Avenue?" Then it dawned on him. "You from there?" "First Ward," said Horatio, nodding. Sam said, "So I guess the message here is to never let either of you get really pissed off at me." Tom Horatio and Ron Tuck shared a grin. That was always the reaction from people who didn't grow up there, unless they grew up in Paterson or Jersey City. Father Horatio said, "It's not that we're tough, just that we're vicious." "Where'd you go to school, Tom?" There was a slight pause. Ron had never called him Tom before, and neither had anyone else. "St. Rose's Grammar School, then Jersey Catholic." He noticed a tension in Ron's face. Then Ron said, "I went to Jersey Catholic, too," he added, "for a while."